Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what you came here for.
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 Thank God to have you here. We're interceding is what I do. I am Pastor Priscilla McCray of International Prayer Center, and I thank God for each and every one of you tonight. Let's go into prayer as we begin to open up our show. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Lord God, for myself and anyone that we have prayed for today. And I ask you, which is you for to you, to send forth your word, Lord God, and heal us. I ask you to deliver us from our own destruction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your word forth to heal us. We thank you for healing us right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for delivering us from our own path, Lord God, of destruction. Lord, we tell you thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now with praise and thanksgiving. I humble myself before you as your anointed child. I plead my cause, O Lord, with those that strike against me. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that prosecute me. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that despise and devours for my hurt. Let them be chased before the wind, and let the angels of the Lord chase them from my presence. They have become false witnesses and have raised up against me, charging me with things I have not done. Lord, I ask you to send your ministering angels and ask you to place a hedge of protection around me to protect me from my enemies, according to Job 1 and 10. Lord, how long will you look on and do nothing? You have declared in Psalms 105 and 15 that no one is to touch your anointed ones and do them any harm. Lord, I am declaring now as the anointed child of God that no one can touch me, according to 1 Samuel 26 and 10. In the Son of Jesus Christ of Nazareth's name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I tell you, thank you, callers, for joining us tonight. I thank God for each and every one of you tonight for finding it in our robbery to call in, amen, and to hear what thus says the Lord. Our lesson studies will be coming from, amen, Luke 13, 6 through 8. And the reading of our Lord and Savior reads, he spoke also this parable. A certain man has a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he upon the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, which cometh it the ground. And he answering unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dig it up. Amen. Let there be a blessing to the reader and also the listener of what God's word has said. I'll say tonight, right now, cut it down. As I begin to go into the powers and the research of this particular scripture, I want you to keep in mind, cut it down. God does not look favorable upon failure. Some of his most severe rebukes have been directed to those who did not accomplish things. They were not successful. Many harsh punishments have been met out of the men who failed God. Saul could not get a prayer through in the heat of battle because through his disobedience, he had failed God. He ended up falling upon his own sword at that time. Because of the failure to respect God, King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sorry, y'all, I get tongue twisted right now, but the king back in the day with the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach, that king did not respect God, and he ended up growing feathers like an eagle and eating grass like an ox. It does not pay to disappoint God. The fig tree refers in this text was not an actual vineyard by chance. The scripture says that the owner had planted there. It was placed there for a purpose. The man wanted figs from the tree and had every right to expect it to produce figs. We see that the owner of the vineyard making an annual visit to inspect this tree and the vines that he had planted. As they walked slowly through the garden, they came into an area that the fig tree was standing alone in. And the owner paused and momentarily glanced at this tree. He was disappointed. It is obvious that he was expecting more but didn't receive everything he wanted of this particular tree. But he said nothing. Now, when you begin to research the scripture, it continues to say the scene is repeated the next year. As they passed through this fruitless fig tree, the owner looked, hoping to see evidence of this production, but he found none. Again, holds his peace. But his anguish is evident. You can look on his face. Sometimes you can look at our parents' face and see disappointments when we're not producing. Somebody is following me right now. So he holds his peace. But now here, the third year finds the owner and the dresser of the vineyard once more inspecting this fig tree that had failed. He could no longer restrain himself. Behold, these 3 years, I come seeking fruit from this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Where it cometh, it the ground. Why cometh it the ground? In other words, cometh it. Why allow the soil to be used up in this particular area and nothing is happening? There is nothing growing out of this vineyard. This soil that is being used for nothing. I can use this here soil to grow something else. Come on, somebody. I can be able to fertilize this particular soil so that I can get some other things to grow in this area. Somebody understands what I'm talking about right now. So he says, I don't want this tree to stay right here. Why not allow this soil to be used for something else? Somebody needs to understand that we're allowing some things to happen, but God wants the surrounding things to be used for his good. Well, let us continue. Now, the tolerance of the owner had reached its limits. Although the hymnist tells us he will not always chime, neither will he keep his anger forever. It is not wise to test God's tolerance. some people say, well, you know what, you know, I just live for God now, and, you know, I'll do these things if God does this for me, but if I sway, you know, everybody falls short. He doesn't want you to continue to use those things as an excuse, amen? He wants you to be able to stand fast on his word and continue to live regardless of what it is. He doesn't want you to sway from what he's trying to tell you. And sometimes we do just that. We sway away from the will and the word of God. Now, the keeper of this vineyard, who represents Jesus, pleaded with the owner to give the tree one more chance to produce. How many of you know that Jesus is our intercessor? How many of you know that God does have a wrath, and he's not always pleased with the things that we're producing? But I thank God today that Christ is our intercessor. And answering unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig about it and dug it up. What does that mean, teacher? At this time, that means Christ would desire to prune you. Christ will desire to move some things out of your way. Christ desires to teach you some things so that you'll be able to be fruitful. But you have to be in the will. You have to be receptive of those things that Christ is showing you. The keeper of the vineyard, and no doubt represents his case very well. The tree does not serve some good purposes right now. Now, what they're saying is our keeper right now is God. He is the owner of this vineyard. But because we have a dresser, amen, Jesus Christ, he's interceding on our behalf. God is telling him to cut us down. Move us away, okay? But Christ is saying, you know what? He or she is a keeper. Just let me teach him or her your ways. Just let me teach him or her what you desire for them to do. Just let me teach him or her the ways you desire for them to live. Just see a couple of more, Master. Just let it stay just a little while longer. Now, I'm going to tell you some things that I can only imagine how Christ was able to keep this tree, amen, planted. The tree does not serve good purposes. He might, you know, argue that maybe there's a nest of birds and it furnishes shade for the weary travelers. It's a beautiful enhancement over all the appearances. But the owner did not put the tree there to produce a nesting place for the birds. And he stated oaks that could shield and protect these birds were already growing around. He didn't need the fig tree to be planted there for this purpose. He had other things there that could satisfy those particular purposes. He planted that tree there to produce fruit, and that's what he expected from that tree. But again, I thank God for Christ standing and interceding on my behalf. Now, because this tree, and if you haven't just figured it out by now, we are the ones that God has planted here. We are the trees. Amen? Because this tree had failed, again, God wanted it cut down because it was found guilty of not producing what God would have them to do. One more chance, pleaded this dresser of the vineyard. And if it bears fruit, well, all is well. We'll keep it there. But if not, then after I have cut away all the bad things, now after I have taken away all the things, now after I have removed all the bitterness, all the hatred out of their hearts, after I have cleaned them on the inside so that you can be able to get the glory, Father, if I done all of that and they start producing these things for you, then could we please keep it in place? Come on, somebody. Now, the church right now should take note of that this verdict is not revoked. It is simply suspended. See, when God places an oath over you, when God says something about your life, he's the only one that could take that verdict away. Man can't do it for you. But because of the intercessor stepping in, and asking our Father, just give it one more chance. Just allow me one more time. God didn't revoke the verdict. He just simply suspended it for a little while. Now, we're waiting for the next year. The church was planted here, but for one purpose. I'm always reminded of Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. God would expect no less. Now, presently, churches are doing many commendable things. I give us that. But I recall at one point, you know, in the ministry, there was a lot of people boasting about the projects that they were working on and they were involved in the church. They were not allowing God to get the glory. The church provided low rent for housing. The church had garment banks, and people can come out and be able to receive these clothing and things of that nature. But a voice would not let me be forgotten that it was not these people that was doing these works, but it was for them to do the work that God can get the glory of it. Amen? Now, it keeps whispering back and forth to me. I keep thinking about it, a fig tree. Well, how can I discern a fig tree to your people, God? All these things are good, and yeah, we should provide clothing for the needy. Yeah, we should feed the needy. Yeah, we should do all things. But I realize again that man is taking the glory for himself and not giving the glory unto God. The church must ever be reminded of its reason for being cut down. How can a church be cut down? Cut it down, God said, could apply to the church as well as an individual. People say, no, God would not cut the church. Nothing like that will ever happen to the church. It is written, okay, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what God said. That's exactly what he said. The gates of hell shall not. But God never surrendered his argument against this. He didn't say that he wouldn't prevail. He said that the gates of hell will never prevail. He said, I will raise up a nation that will obey me. So sometimes we find the church right now in a turmoil where they're not obeying what God is telling them to do. Amen? They're not falling into the will of God. So will God stand up and say, cut it down to a church? Yes, he will. Why? Because sometimes we as leaders exalt ourselves against God. Is that something that we're doing mindfully and willingly? I don't think so, but sometimes we have to check ourselves. Sometimes we get so big, we forget about God, and we put I in the picture. My ministry, my church, my congregation, my people. Not God's people, not God's house, not God's glory, not God getting the victory. None of that. We forget about that. Now, again, this parable is all about fruitless trees. It speaks clearly about a time of judgment. It says to Israel, then to us now, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. What does that mean, preacher? Well, you know what? If I don't give it to God and allow God to do some things, if I don't apologize unto God's people and say, you know what, I apologize for the things I do. But sometimes you got to be mindful of things that are going on in your surroundings. You have to understand when the enemy is coming in. Because if you're demonstrating the things that God has instructed us, if you're acting on the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If you're demonstrating all of these fruits of the Spirit, you don't have to apologize for anything because you're already living according to what God would have you do. But if you're not repenting unto him, you shall all likewise perish. Somebody catch that. The fig tree was singled out for special care and special privileges. One commentary suggested that it was planted on a sunny slope, and it rises high above the vine. But with privileges comes responsibility. Come on, somebody. The church, like Israel, enjoys certain privileges.
Mm-hmm.
See, the church is the bride of God's Son. She is nested within the protection of love of the divine. She has been promised eternal existence if she obeys. We find ourselves going against the will of God and not doing what God would have us to do at times. Somebody understands what I'm talking about. With all of this special attention, she is expected to produce fruit. The alternative is an axe laid at her roots. Can you just sit down and think about somebody standing over you with an axe, ready to chop you down from the heel of your feet, knocking you down?
Mm.
This is what's happening right now in the day of age. We are allowing ourselves to get out of the will of God and not be productive for God. God is giving us certain gifts. He's giving us certain abilities. When Christ ascended on high, he spread out his gifts throughout the land. Amen? That those gifts, I was reminded by my Apostle Rush, and God bless him, man of God. I was reminded just earlier today that when Christ ascended, amen, and he put these gifts out, he said that they would use these gifts. In other words, they would be better than me. They would do these things greater than me. Amen? These things that I've left behind will be used greater than I. You think about it. The day and age back then, mankind has multiplied. Therefore, it can't be 12 disciples anymore. It can't be. We realize amongst ourselves, we'll say, well, you know what? I'm not saved, or I can't get this done. I need to talk to the pastor. I need to go to the apostle. I need to talk to the elder of the church. No, you need to go to God. You need to go into your quiet place and allow God to minister to you. You need to understand that you have a direct contact with him. When Christ came, he did away with the old ways. He did away with that. He was interceding for us, but he gave you a direct contact to be able to talk to your Lord and Savior. You should be able to do that. But this time and age, we're so weak for the flesh that we don't do things upon ourselves. We want somebody else to cry out to God for us. I call that a lazy servant. Because you should be able to cry out to God and know all is well. Once you cry out to God and give it to God, it's okay to ask for those to help intercede for you. Why? Because once you've given it to God, the enemy understands that. And he understands once God gets a hold of it, my Lord, there's nothing that he can do with it. But what he will do is utilize those things around you. But God will move that hedge of protection around you just like he did Job. And he will allow Satan to test you, because if you said that you are a servant, come on, of our Father, and you are a faithful servant of him, and you are obedient in all the things that you're doing, then he's going to test you. He's going to surround you with people, come on, that are not quite like you. And we're going to see just how much of a faithful servant you are. We all fall short. People use it as an excuse to go ahead and say, I'm a servant of God, and then go ahead and do something that is not like God. But I warn you, when you're not being productive in using the word, I am a child of God, loosely, he will turn you loose. Now, 3 years simply means that a long time that went by, and that this owner was excited about this tree producing fruit. God is giving us a time to correct our failures. Now, the fourth year represents a period of grace. We either give God some things or suffer the faith of those that fail. What does that mean again, preacher? He said, cut it down. But Jesus still makes intercession for us. Leave it alone this year also. This year, behold judgment at bay. He's holding it back. He's not allowing God to go ahead and just render us our final judgment. He's keeping it back. He's interceding, giving us yet another opportunity to get right with God. This year gives the writer a chance to accept the truth as a way of life. This year gives the backslider time to return to Christ and produce some fruits. This year means that, I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now. This year means that no one could run from him. This year means that one can repent and believe the gospel. This year says that the faith we can receive forgiveness and be endowed with the power that liveth through our Creator. I repeat, this year is a grace of extended. After this comes the judgment date. So now that Christ is interceding on our behalf, are you ready for God to judge you on this day? Are you ready to be able to stand before our Lord and Savior and say, you know what, I've done everything I was supposed to do. I'm ready for your judgment. Are you ready for God to say, move from in front of me, for I know you not? Or are you producing the proper fruits of life? The next time that this owner returns to the vineyard will not be for inspection, but for judgment. When God gets ready to come in front of you, he's not going to try to figure out, well, could I put it back out to pass for a little while longer? Should I wait? No, it's there for judgment. Can it be that the preachers of today have gone soft for proclaiming the day of judgment and all of the consequences that goes along with it? I remember speaking to a family member of mine, and when we began to speak, we began to remember certain preachers that spoke of wonderful things and glorious things, but nobody is preaching brimstone anymore. Nobody's telling us about the gates of hell anymore. Nobody's telling us how to live right. Yeah, they were right when they said certain preachers were speaking, saying, well, if you live right, these are the things and these are the joys of the world. Yeah, that's true. But then you're not telling them what's the consequence if you don't live right. God said, cut it down. Now, speak unto smooth things, says Isaiah in 30:10. The crowd is anxious to hear us speak about health, wealth, but shut us off and close their ears when we talk about a day when we must stand before the righteous judge and give an account for our stewardship. They don't want to hear about that. The crowd says, tell us about the Bible to the riches, but says nothing to us about eternal fire of hell. Speak unto us the smooth things. Tell us about the anointing, but we refuse to listen to you talk about the wide roads that lead to destruction. Speak to us about the smooth things. A great multitude of us are lost because of these small things that we keep speaking about. We fill our pews and our popularity will show and continue to travel when we speak all these wonderful things. And we avoid the bitter truth. We don't tell the people how they could be convicted of these things when they go against God. Smooth the edges of the sword and of the truth. My apostle was just talking to us earlier, either yesterday, last night, and today. He said that if we just smooth the truth a little bit, if we just go ahead and make the truth sound pretty for him, he said that truth stood before them and said, I am the naked truth. If you give it to them raw enough cut, there's no way of walking from it. Some people have said to Pastor, you know what? Watch me step on it. You're so controlling. Why am I controlling? Don't take my attitude about telling the truth and shaming the devil as being controlling. Take my attitude as being truthful and knowing that I got God on my side to stand with whatever it is that I'm giving what the people need to hear. Some people can't handle the truth. You remember that saying, you can't handle the truth. Well, that's the truth saying. People can't handle that. On Sundays, I'm sure that these people would have become disciples. But if you tell the sinner what he wants to hear, he will continue to still be a sinner, because nobody wants you to hear them say they're going to go straight to hell if they don't straighten up their life. Tell them about the judgment and how they see from in front of you. If you are to bear fruit for our Father, you must deal with the whole truth, not just part of the things that make them feel guilty or don't wake up or disturb their spirit. Fire and brimstone preaching has been under attack by these theologies. You know, they want to tell us, you know what, in order for you to be a pastor, I need you to expound on this particular verse. I need you to break down this verse, but I need it to be understood that it's very kind and meek and humble words. God said, the vengeance is mine. When I hear that and I read that scripture, that doesn't sound very smoothing to me. Become a soft preacher in a present world of convictions. I can't do that. The time has certainly suggested that there may be a judgment that's coming very soon amongst our people. So what are you saying, Pastor? It's time for us to get it together. Because when judgment day comes, you're going to stand before God, and he's going to look at you in all, not some, in all of your ways, and say, cut it down. He's not going to say, well, you know what? I'm going to save this one because they're dealing with their tithes faithfully. And, you know, me and Prophetess Freeman, we always speak when people say, I pay my tithes. You are to give your tithes, not pay your tithes. Giving unto God is not a payment. It's not a chore of this world. You are to give freely unto God. But some people feel like just paying their tithes is enough to get them into kingdom. You got to live right. You got to do the things that God is requiring you to do. Check yourself. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. A multitude was baptized by John because of fear. A generation of vipers who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come. It was a fear of hell's fire that drove them to seek salvation and to find the Savior. Sometimes, you know, you have your parents got to put a little fear in their kids. If they don't fear you, they won't fear anybody. And be careful when you're teaching your parents to be disrespectful to other adults. You reap what you sow. But you have to be able to understand that when you're putting fear in them, you can put fear in the presence of them and know that they will still honor you. We are to fear God, but know that he loves us. Know that he would do anything for us. But you can't go boldly before him and tell him what to do when he's your creator. It was a fear of hell that drove them to seek him. It did not know anything about the Holy Trinity. I was totally ignorant about the baptizing doctrine, if I can just be honest with you. I came to Jesus because I had convictions going on in the inside, and he could keep me from my eternal damnation. I thank God for sitting before ministers and elders to tell me that I'm going to go straight to hell if I don't get myself together. But initially, I didn't want to hear these things. I thought these things were not right. I thought God was this beautiful light. I thought all these things could just be so wonderful, but I didn't understand the opposite. Now, are you bearing fruit for Christ? Or he is coming again very soon. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. Christ has stood before us. He's given us assignments. He's given us gifts. He's given us a perfect example of how to live right. Don't let him catch you when you're slipping and you're falling asleep. Our foreparents was waiting anxiously for his return. They saw it day by day by day by day. They saw the day of Jubilee, a day of victorious reigns. When all of God's children get together, what a time, what a time, what a time. Now we're going to sit down at the bank of Jordan, what a time, what a time, what a time. I can't speak about anybody else, but I've made up my mind that every day of my life, I plan on bearing fruit for Jesus. When he hears me singing, I am bearing fruit for the Lord. Ask yourself, what am I supposed to do in order to bear fruit for God? You ask, why am I out here at this age going over all of this stuff, talking to this old single-minded preacher living and coming straight out of country Fort Lauderdale? Why is she putting forth so much effort for this? Well, I tell you why. I am bearing fruit for my master. One day, I hope when I meet him in the high up that there will be no liars standing on the side of me. There will be no backslider standing in the back of me. There will be no fornicator standing on the right side of me. There will be nothing surrounding me that will keep me out of the will of God. Amen? I want to make sure that everything that God has for me, I'm going to get it. I always say to parishioners in my church, for God I live and for God I die. And if I stand before him on judgment day, I want him to tell me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Somebody needs to make sure that God is saying, well done. But when we're walking around saying and proclaiming to be children of God and we're not producing, he's going to cut you down. When we're walking around and we're saying that we're faithful servants unto him, but yet and still we're sliding and we're doing things behind these people's back. But what you need to understand is when you're doing things behind people, man, if you will, God still knows all and he sees all. So you're not fooling anybody but yourself. When you sit down and say, you know what? The enemy is not using me. The enemy will never get a hold of me. That's where you're wrong. The devil is defeated and he is a liar. That is the biggest thing that he's done right now in our mankind is for man to believe that he doesn't even exist. He will use people around you to manipulate situations to make them feel good about it. But you need to understand, sometimes when you're hearing people pray and quote-unquote interceding for you, be careful of who you ask to pray for you. Because when they're crying out, oh, God, you just tear them down. Lord, I wish you just destroy them. Lord, I wish you just tear them out. You're not praying to the righteous God. Because if you were living right, those type of prayers you wouldn't have to give to the Father. Again, I say, God said that vengeance is mine. So he will know when you're being disturbed. He will intercede on your behalf. So sometimes you got to check those things that are around you to see where the enemy has his hand in it. Because once God comes down in judgment day, if he step right down right now on Wednesday night on September 29, 2010, and says to his people at 7:37, I am here for judgment day, check yourself and find out if he's going to cut you down. Somebody needs to understand right now, it's time for us to get it together. It's time for us to live right. It's time for us to love on one another. I thank God that when I send out a text for somebody to intercede for me, I've already gone to my Father. I've already asked for it. Because sometimes when you ask people to stand in the gap like Christ has done for ourselves, they may not just have you in favor. They may not just have you on their mind to do that for you. Be careful what you ask for sometimes. Because sometimes they may be playing the will of mammon and not the will of God over your life. And when those things are happening, you fall into ploy and you begin to play the same game that the enemy has set out for you. That's when destruction comes about. That's when God says, you know what, I'm done away with it. But I thank God on this day because, again, I say I've made up my mind and I will serve God. I will not be caught off my post on judgment day. If he stepped down and he broke open the heavens right now, I'll say I thank God that I'm a saved Christian. When those things come against me, I always say, for God I live and for God I die. I will speak life into a dead situation. What did God give you right now to fight your battles? Again, I say basic instructions left before leaving earth. That is your Bible. Read it. Understand the warfare. Understand when you see the enemy come in. But remember that God will raise you up. He will deliver you. He will raise up a standard in you. that even when your enemies come against you, all you have to do is speak a word of God. He's well pleased with those things. What are you doing at that time when you're speaking a word of God? You're speaking peace and not destruction. You're demonstrating those things of the Spirit that God has asked for you to do. You're living by the fruits of the Spirit. You will not be cut down when you begin to do the things that God would have you to do. Amen? But when you begin to live those things that are of the world, adultery, fornication, cursing, living unclean lives, adultery, idolatrous life, witchcraft, hatred, rafting, being angry with somebody, seduction, harassment, drunkenness, envy, murder, revealing such a things like these unto God, those things are governed by the land. Those things are governed by the things, the demonic forces that the enemy has set forth. Have you ever seen somebody get locked up because they're loving on you? Have you ever seen somebody get locked up because there's meekness in their heart? Have you ever seen someone get locked up because they're faithfully serving God? But then when you're demonstrating all the fruits of the Spirit that God has left behind, those are the things that you won't have to worry about being locked down by man's law. You don't have to worry about God coming back and having you stand before him on judgment day and telling him to cut it down. You don't have to worry about Christ interceding for you because you're already doing what God would have you to do. You don't have to worry about Christ saying, let me pluck and prune and create something when you're living the way God would intend you to live. Now, what is your reward when you're living the way God would have you to live? Eternal life. There's eternal life to live. There's no more envy. There's no more perverted things going on. There's no more lust. There's no more backbiting. There's no more hurt. There's no more hurt in your church. There's no more turning people away from the church. There's no more destruction of the church. There's only unity and peace, kindness and mercy going on above. I want to be there. And I refuse to allow God, like God said, I will make sure that you get cut out. I refuse to have God come before me and tell me to get cut down. How about you? Do you want to live like that? Do you want to live a sinful life? My Lord, we have a caller coming in. Right now, go ahead, caller. God bless you, woman of God.
Praise the Lord, Pastor McCray. I have just been in awe in reference to what God has given you to give unto his people, the church. I thank God for your wisdom. It gives you a new respect as far as what the Word of God is saying unto his people on today. I thank God for being able to listen to the Word, and conviction comes to wearing, am I living fully according to what the Word of God is saying to me? You know,
amen.
Like you said, we have to evaluate our lives to know that the fruit of the Spirit are in character as far as how we treat people, how we do our business, how we deal with our relationships and just the way of life. And I thank God for this word because it lets me know your work that God has given us is never really done. You always have to continually seek out the things that God would have us to do because there are so many people, like you said, can just get so complacent to where they can hear this word and hear the conviction that you are giving unto us in reference to what God is saying to his people to where they don't hear They don't get convicted anymore. They don't evaluate themselves anymore. They don't look at anything that they're doing as wrong. All they see is what I want, what I like, what I feel, and that's what the enemy has been victorious against the church is wearing. He's put I back in it. He's brainwashed us, so to speak, to saying that we ourselves are more important than what God thinks and what God would have us to do and what God would have us to be. And I thank God for this word. I really do. I appreciate you. I appreciate the anointing of God that is on your life. I thank God that you seek after the truth, that God's word has been given to deliver unto us. I just thank God for it, because in these last and evil days, and we talked the other day, one day to us is like a thousand unto the Lord.
Amen.
And our time is running out. You know, we may think we have a lot of time, but we don't. We don't have a lot of time. And it's this type of teaching and this type of word being brought forth will help us. Will keep us in check, will make us analyze and be convicted unto the things that we know that we have been taught that are wrong, that are not pleasing in God's sight. So I thank God for this word. It really is an encouraging word, because now it's like a reminder, you know, that we have a charge to keep. You know,
amen.
It's not just something we did yesterday, but something that we continuously have to do daily.
Amen.
The word says this flesh must die daily. And this is one of those teachings that tells us, okay, this flesh must die daily, that we cannot forget about what God is saying, basic instructions before leaving this earth. We cannot forget those things, because as I spoke to some of our parishioners the other day, that we have to get in practice of this thing now. Because once we go into the presence of the Lord, we are going to already know what to do. It's not going to be a teaching time. It's going to be something that he's already taught, and we've already accepted our place and what we are to do. And these are the type of teachings that help us.
Amen.
Help us continue on to seek God, so that when it's time and he comes back for the judgment day, that he'll see that we have done. He'll see the fruit behind us. He'll see love and forgiveness standing around us. He'll see repentance. He'll see a penitent heart, that nothing that we've done, we have done for ourselves, but we have done because it was pleasing in God's sight. So these type of teachings, I pray your continuous, Pastor McCray. I love
you.
Continue to teach and continue to allow God to use you and minister the truth, the unadulterated truth about what God expects from his people and what he will expect the day he returns unto us. So continue to do those things, and I will continue to keep you in prayer and international prayer center as well.
God bless you, woman of God. I do love you, Prophetess Freeman. And I thank God for your encouraging words tonight. I thank God for each and every one of you that have joined us tonight. But the woman of God has hinted on some things, amen. We have to be mindful of our lifestyle. We have to be mindful of the things that we're doing in our daily walk. We have to be mindful of how we're treating one another, how we're talking to one another, how we shouldn't just sit down and judge before we know the whole truth. Sometimes people get half of the information and they run down the street and around the corner when all they had to do was go next door and get the truth. Amen? But sometimes we're not allowing these things to happen in our lives, and then that's when the conviction comes in. You don't have to be in awe with conviction if you're living the right lifestyle. There is no way possible that you're governed by all the fruits of the Spirit that you have to go back and repent something. You don't have to repent anything when you're living according to the way God will have you to live. Because come judgment time, I ask you again to ask yourself, do I want to be cut down? Or do I want to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit? Do I want to produce some things in my life? Again, some people have been given compassion. That's a gift. That's an honorable gift. To have compassion for somebody, to run to their rescue in their time of need, to stand in the gap. I thank God for Christ, for standing in the gap for me, for saving me one day. I thank God for him doing that, for allowing me to be delivered from my sinful life. You need to ask yourself, can I be delivered from this life? Or do I want to be delivered from this life? Because if you choose, I can, Christ is right there. He said it in his word that I would never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that. I believe he's there again, still interceding for us, allowing God to just hold back, to spend his sentence. People say, well, I just told a little white lie. It's not that bad. Again, the enemy has tricked you. To lie is just to murder. Sin is sin. People say, well, he or she didn't do it. It wasn't so bad. It shouldn't hurt you that bad. If he or she would have did this way, it should hurt you that way. The devil is defeated. Pain is pain, no matter how you look at it. If you got a headache or you got a toothache, it still hurts. Sin is sin, no matter how you look at it. It's time for us to repent unto God all of our sins, turn from our wicked ways, because we don't want to get caught off guard and having God come back and say, cut it down. We want to allow Christ to intercede on our behalf, allow him to pull some things away, pluck some things out of our lives. And you know what? Some people say, well, I'm so used to being around this person. I'm so used to doing it for this person. I really don't want to turn away from them, because then they may say I'm acting funny if I could just be a little country with you for a little while. Well, honey, if you got to act country, be country all day. If you got to turn from them, that continue to pull you back into those ways of life that are not like God, turn away from them, because you're only allowing them to bring damnation unto you and themselves. I have a caller. Caller, go ahead. God bless you, man of God.
Bless you, woman of God. We are enjoying the teaching tonight, amen. And it's such a true thing. Amen, that we are hearing. Amen, for we are living in the last days. Amen, and men don't want to preach this anymore. Amen, glory to God. But we know that the Bible declares that in the last days there shall be a great falling away. Amen, and men will become lovers more themselves than lovers of God. Amen. But we may have a question. Amen, if we die tonight, will we spend in eternity?
My
amen.
Lord.
Amen. I love what you said, amen. That are you ready to meet the Master? Amen. Are you ready for heaven? Amen. Because at the end of the day, after all of the blessings, out of all of this and that, and the victory cry and the war cry and all of this, at the end of the day, the question is going to be asked, where will you
are you ready?
You
my Lord.
Ready?
My Lord.
Amen. Where will you spend it? Amen. And that's the question that we all must ask. I don't care who we are, where we come from. We all must answer that question. Now, where are we? You've said it out there so many times that eternity is a long time. It's time without end. Amen. So it's such a wonderful amen. And I thank God for you being bold enough and encouraged enough to stand and declare the glory of our God. Amen. To let the people know. After the shouting is over, after the money is spent, when you come down to God, will he tell you, welcome? Apart from me, I know you're not.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
For the saved as well as the unsaved.
That's
amen.
Right.
He said, amen. He'll choose you this day who you're going to
be. My Lord.
Amen. You need to make up your mind. Amen. It's such a critical time. Amen. I know it's strange, and I know people don't want to hear it no more. But I did for this. Amen. Glory to God.
Sure.
For this time. in this season because we're living at the 11th hour. Amen. People don't talk about it, but we're in the 11th hour at 59 minutes. Amen. Any minute you can come back. No man know the hour or the day. But he decides. Amen. When our Father gives him a call, gives him a beckon, it's okay. The Bible declares that the angels don't even know.
My Jesus.
Yes, will you be ready? Amen. Glory to God. If he's calling now, he's in the forgiving stage now. He's calling, telling you to come. But after what? He's going to be in judgment.
That's it.
Amen.
And you got to be ready.
Amen. We need to be ready. Amen. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm working on my soul salvation, even as we speak. Amen. I refuse to allow the enemy to cause me to miss heaven and go to hell.
That's
it. Make sense to go through hell, go through life, inhale, and then die and go to hell. It wasn't made for you. The Bible declares hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his enemy. That's what it was made for. Amen.
Have mercy, God. Amen.
Amen. But if you decide to go ahead on. But woman of God, we thank God for you. You continue to stand on the word of God. You continue to be encouraged. You continue to allow God to do what he's doing and to be God in your life. You praise
Amen.
God for you. We're praying for you. Amen. And the saints there. Amen. Glory to God.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you. God bless you, caller. God bless you, man of God. That was our very own Pastor Rush that was speaking to us, Apostle Rush, that is our overseer here at International Prayer Center. Amen. I thank God for the man of God stopping by and giving us some encouraging words tonight. But before we go, we would like to close out with a prayer. We would like to close out with a repentance prayer, amen, that if you have not received Christ, and you would like it at this time to get it together, amen, and to declare Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen, this is the time for you to do so. I would just like for you to receive this prayer unto your heart. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil and good to evil in Isaiah 5:20. But that's exactly what we have done in our lives. We must have lost our way some kind of way spiritually and introverted our values against you. We confess that at this time, Lord God, we have ridiculed you, we have avoided you, we have demonstrated ourselves against your word, God. And we're calling out, Lord God, that you just forgive us, Lord. We're repenting those things unto you, Lord. We have worshipped another God and demonstrated a lifestyle that was not like you. Father, on this day, we ask for your forgiveness. We have endured persecution. We have endured hardship. We have endured a lifestyle that is not like yours. And we are claiming everything that you would have us to do right now, Lord God. We have exploited the cross, and we call it lotto. We have neglected the needy, and we call it self-preservation. We have rewarded the lazy, and we call it welfare. We have killed the unborn, and we call it justification. Lord, on this day, Lord God, we tell you sorry, Father God. Forgive us for the sins that are known and unknown to us today. Lord, we ask that you forgive those people that go against you right now, Father God. Have mercy and have them turn from their wicked ways, Lord God. All the things of this world, Lord God, be not of your will, Lord God. Of the world, Father God, but to be of your will, Lord God. Lord, we tell you thank you for deliverance on this day. Thank you for allowing us to be in your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to be in your care, Lord God. Thank you for doing it for us right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just tell you, thank you for everything that you delivered us from, Lord God, and the magnification that you're bringing us into, Lord God. We're leaning and depending, knowing that you are God and God alone. We know that you're able to do it for us exceedingly and in abundantly, Lord God, above all that we can imagine. So, Father God, on this day, we're turning from our wicked ways so that you can say, well done, my good and faithful servant, and not cut it off. Until we meet again on next week, Wednesday, at 7 p.m. with Interceding is What I Do. God bless you. This is Pastor McCray from International Prayer Center. Good night.